Amen. We want you to take your liberty tonight and just preach to us whatever the Lord has given to you and just obey the Lord. Could we all stand in reverence to the man of God tonight? It's my pastor, Brother Jerome Bourne, comes to take the remainder of this service and deliver unto us what the Lord has placed upon the altar of his soul. Everybody say, God bless Brother Bourne.
Thank you, Brother Price. To be in God's house means more to me than anything that I can think of tonight. And I don't know if you love the Lord like you should, but if you don't, maybe we can put something in you tonight that'll help you to see the necessity of this before we get finished. Now you can be seated. I thought of the years that have passed since we were in service together of this nature. It's been quite a while. I was recently privileged, Brother Price, to preach from my pastor. Since I had started preaching, it had been 18 years. And I was so honored to be able to go and preach for my pastor. After those 18 years, when the Lord called us, we evangelized for a while, and then we started pastoring, and then it was hard for our paths to cross at a time when we could be in those services. But God so fixed it, and we had such a great time for 4 or 5 weeks of revival with him. And then when I received an invitation to come here and to preach for, well, I just call it one of the boys. He's much more than a boy, but one of our children in the Lord, it does me even more honor tonight. And I hope that I can inspire you. This is not the first service in this building, but it is the first service of a new beginning. And this thing will be officially dedicated in the next few services. And I'll say this, that if you were all to work together, God could fill this without ministers. They could all become a part of this assembly. And we'll take time here to say a few things before we actually begin to preach. But we appreciate Brother Baron Price. Through the years, we love him and his family. He and Sister Price, Sister Beverly Price, they were such a blessing to us. Not only did they pray through under our ministry, but after we was a small part in helping them go to Bible school, and then come back and work with us for quite a while. And then all things change. And when it does, that's just the way life goes. And those almost 9 years since we went one direction, Brother Price went the other, our mind goes to a lot of things. And I sit there just a little bit ago, and I found myself in a lot of places, Brother Price. Just, I was here, I was there. And my mind was racing so fast as we began to travel the course of the last 18 years. And I found myself going down roads and avenues, pacing hospital floors, driving, all within the confines of a few seconds, these things just begin to hit my mind. Things that I have not even thought of in quite some time. But here we are at Popeville tonight. Some of you were in a service that I preached here many years ago. I don't even know how long it's been. 74, 73, somewhere back then. May have been in 72. I don't remember. Anybody here that was there that night? Doesn't times change things? Or is there only two that was here that night?
Good Samaritan service.
It was a Good Samaritan service. Well, I don't know if I've improved on my preaching. I don't know what you thought about that night. I don't know what you'll think about this one when I get finished. You might not want me to come back Sunday. But we're going to have church. I can read some of your mind. You say, you're quiet and slow talking just like our pastor. Hadn't you thought of that? Well, sure you have. That's where he gets it from. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. I could tell you the story of the rabbit and the turtle. We're going to get there, Brother Pride. Yes, sir. We're going to get there. It's good to have my family. Aretha, could you sing for us tonight, sweetheart? I remember several years ago, Aretha, I believe it was Aretha. She was just a small baby, and she was, or was it LaWanda? There at the church. It was LaWanda, the one before this one. But was having church, and she got to crying and wouldn't quit crying. And you know how babies do sometimes. And she throwed her a little fit over there. Sister Bourne was sitting about the first or second seat back. And so I just walked down off the platform and took her out of Sister Bourne's arms, walked outside and gave her a whipping, walked back and set her down, told her to sit there now, and went back to the pulpit and preached. And boy, Brother Baron Price's brother got all upset. At church, he said, Brother Bourne shouldn't have done that. And his mother said, well, son, she was disturbing, misbehaving, and she had to be corrected. She was ruining the service. He said, well, it ruined the service for me. I wasn't worth anything after that. Sometimes things happen that we have to take into hand, don't we? How many would like to be blessed tonight? I've preached out, and I've got my breath, and I've preached some more, and we have been going this year, last year. The Lighthouse Boys Ranch and Brother Yoy burned out last general conference. We got home, and he asked us to come help him. And at the same time, we had revivals, and we're trying to pastor. I don't know if we're doing any one of them any justice, but we work 3 or 4 days a week. We preach the rest of the week. We come home, pastor. In between that, sometimes between 11 and 5 o'clock in the morning, we counsel with people. We leave out at 6 in the morning, we work again. And then we come in and we hit the road and we preach again. And this is my 200th service. I'm glad that it's here. We have seen a lot of people get the Holy Ghost. We've seen out and out miracles just in this year, 1984. And who knows, this could be your night. Amen. I say this could be your night. What I'm going to preach tonight is a very simple message. It's a message of faith. I believe in faith. I believe that God still raises from the dead, opens the blind eyes, unstops the deaf ears, and causes the lame to walk again. He removes cancer and tumors of any sort. He will put bones back together and homes back together. It really depends on what your need is and how you present it to God. Amen. I'll let you folks in on a little secret. If you'll help me, it won't take me long. But if you don't, I hope you brought a lunch. You can take that for what it's worth. I can preach 30 minutes, and I can preach 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I probably won't preach that long tonight because I feel like you're going to help me. Some of you is ready to leave already. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, your pastor has probably preached from this scripture. I'm sure that Brother Black has. Other ministers, you may have heard this message a score of times if you've been around the church very long. But if you have not, enjoy it with me. And if you've heard it once, twice, three times, maybe the Lord's really trying to show you something. Amen. And it may be because you need it. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 2. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemy that riseth against thee to be smitten before thy face. And they shall come out against thee one way, and shall flee before thee seven ways. And the Lord shall command blessings upon thee and thy storehouse. And in all that thou settest thine hand upon, he shall bless thee in the land where the Lord thy God givest thee. And the Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And then in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. You are not of the night, nor of darkness. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You can be seated. I have read to you in your hearing tonight three scriptures. Galatians 6 and 1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken, ye that are spiritual. You know, generally, the person who goes to the person overtaken is the least spiritual one. I want to talk about being overtaken by sin. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake thee, the end of time. I'm talking about being overtaken by sin and being overtaken by the end time. And then in Deuteronomy chapters 28 and verse 2, and all these blessings shall overtake thee. Now I want to ask you something. Had you rather be overtaken by the end of time? Or had you rather be overtaken by sin? Or had you rather the Lord just overtake you with blessings? And there would be a very foolish person who would not choose the last. But you know, all of these promises, Brother Price, they belong to us. We have begun a celebration here tonight. Why don't we do it with the blessings of the Lord upon us? I'm talking about when blessings overtake us. You know, where I go, and I've been a lot of places, and I've preached a lot of services in the last year, And we have seen many, many people get the Holy Ghost. And everywhere I go, there's people without jobs. We're living in a cramped economy. Even though the stock market hit an all-time high yesterday, broke all records, that don't mean nothing to the unemployed. Not one thing. I wonder, is there anybody here that doesn't have a job? Everybody's working. It's unusual, Brother Price. One, don't be ashamed. The Lord may be fixing to do something for you. I preached one revival. The first night, I talked to people about what the Lord would do for them. And I had those who were not employed. 16 men in that one church, unemployed. I said, man, God's got to do something for this church. I had them to stand, and I just started on one side. I said, what kind of job do you want? Some started off, well, just any old thing. I said, no. If you want anything, and you tell God you want anything, you'll have to take whatever He gives you. Or you can tell God what you want, and He'll give you what you ask for.
Praise God.
Well, you can believe this or not. Amen. One place I was preaching, and the Lord impressed me this one night, and one lady stood up. I said, what do you want? She said, well, just anything. I said, no. What kind of education do you have? Well, I have a master's degree in sociology. I said, why don't you ask for a sociology job? But they don't have any available in the state of Louisiana. What I want is a state director's job. I say, well, tell God you want the state director's job. She said, but Brother Bourne, right out before hundreds of people, about 400 there that night, she said, but Brother Bourne, you see, there's nothing being hired in the state of Louisiana because the way everything is. I said, lady, do you want or not? I said, could you just say those words, I want that job? She said, God, I want that job. I said, sit down. I said, you're going to get it. Look, the God I serve knows where I'm at.
That's right.
And I'm convinced if you'll serve Him, He'll find out where you are. Why, I just read in your hearing where He says, and all of these blessings shall overtake you.
Glory.
I'm not talking about just accidentally finding them. They are actually trying to catch you.
Glory.
I'm talking about when a blessing just absolutely overtakes you.
Glory. Now,
I wish my boy was here tonight. I'd use him for an example. He's a pretty big fellow. I could run and jump on his back, and he could take it. I don't see anybody here big enough for me to do that tonight. But he could. He's about 350. And I could jump on his back and wouldn't faze him. But I don't. But you know, the Lord, as big as God is, He is trying to overtake some of you tonight. If you just stop long enough and let Him, He said, I'll bless you where? I'll bless thee in the city, and I'll bless thee in the field. He said, I'll bless the fruit of thy body and the fruit of the ground. He said, I'll increase thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. I'll bless your basket, and I'll bless your store. You hear me tonight?
Yes.
Not only that, he says, but blessed shalt thou be when thou goest in,
yeah,
and when thou comest out.
Right.
He said, I'm going to bless you going and coming.
Yeah.
Why, some of you brought a thimble tonight to get a blessing. He said, I'll bless your basket
right,
and your store.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, he said, everything that your hand touches, I'll bless it.
You know, Brother Price, I don't know if they accuse you of this or not, but they always have me. Everything Brother Bourne touches, blessed. Well, the Bible says it. He said everything. Let me read. Maybe y'all didn't hear that part. If I can find it. Let me back up a little bit so I can read. Somebody help me out there. I'll find it in a minute. Verse 8. And the Lord shall command these blessings on thee and thy storehouse, and all that thou settest thine hand upon, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Hallelujah. Just touch something and it's blessed.
Thank God.
Amen. I can't help it if God wants to bless me.
Right.
I'm just going to say, okay, Lord, go right ahead and pour it on.
Yeah.
I'll stop here. Pour it on me.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
Some time ago, a man come to me and said, Brother Bourne, anything you need? I said, I don't get it. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. A week or so later, he come back and said, Brother Bourne, is there anything I can do to help you? I said, no, sir. I just didn't care to tell him. I had some needs. He come back another few days. Brother Bourne, look, is there anything you need? No, everything's fine. I got off and I got to thinking. Now, if that man comes back and does me that again, I'm going to shock him. And it wasn't but just another day. He'd come back, Brother Bourne, I don't know what it is. Is there anything you need? I said, yeah, I need $5,000. He grabbed his check, my book out, started writing. I said, hold on, no. I was just kidding. He said, no, sir. You said it, you get it. He wrote out that check and I said, give it here. I stuffed it in my pocket and said, thank you. I really appreciate it. The Lord had to chase me down for 4 weeks to give me that $5,000. And I almost let it slip through my fingers at that. Just said, no. And the Lord was trying to give
it. Praise God.
Someone said, why didn't you ask for 10? If I'd asked for 10, he'd have given me 10. When blessings overtake us. We got home that night from church and that girl said, Brother Bourne, I need to talk to you. You see what it is? They're not hiring in the state. They have to, if there was a job available, they would have to advertise it. I said, wait, you're going to get a call. The next day, the phone rang at that house and said, is this where so-and-so lives? I said, yes. Well, her name was laying on my desk this morning. This was the next day. And there's a job that's coming available. And we want her to come and fill out an application for this job. Because she's going to get the job, and she hadn't even applied for it. She asked, where did you get my name? They said, we don't know. It was just laying on our desk. Call this number.
Hallelujah.
She's now state director of social services in the state of Louisiana. Got her own office in Baton Rouge. Let me tell you, if God can't do it, you might as well close up your book. I'm talking about when blessings overtake us. Brother Price, in that same service, a man on the opposite side of the church, I said, you don't have a job? He was standing. I said, what do you want? He said, anything. I said, I'm tired of that anything. God wants you to tell him exactly what you want. I said, what? He said, Brother Bourne, I'm in the union. I'm number 107 down the list, waiting for a job. There's 107 men ahead of me. I said, what do you want, brother? You a carpenter? He said, yes, sir. You want a carpenter's job? Yes, sir. I said, okay, you'll get a call at 6 o'clock in the morning. The phone rang at 6 o'clock the next morning and said, hey, report to work immediately. God's my witness tonight. He come in from work that next night in the revival service. He come up to the front. He was weeping. He said, Brother Bourne, I needed a job. I was desperate for a job. He said, now my wife is supposed to go in the hospital Tuesday morning for surgery. Can God heal her? I said, just as easy as He can give a job. Hallelujah. I said, what's her problem? He told me the problem. He said, she's a very bashful girl. She didn't want to come up. I said, tell her to come up here. And she come up and had prayer. She went that next afternoon to be admitted to the hospital for surgery at 7 o'clock the next morning. And when she got there, she says, Doctor, I want you to make another examination. He said, well, we just made one yesterday. There's no need in it. It'd just be more expense. She said, I want an examination. He examined her and said, lady, what's happened? She said, well, let me tell you what happened. He said, lady, you don't need any surgery. You are made whole. There is nothing wrong with you. But it was 24 hours before. He said, Brother Bourne, this is just a remote. So I'm not talking about remote. I'm talking about everyday things that happen. When we live for God, He says, and these blessings shall overtake you. Some of you is not going to believe me tonight, and you're not going to receive it. But God wants Hopeful Church tonight to be overtaken with blessings. Hallelujah. I say, God will overtake you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Talking about when blessings overtake you. The revival I'm preaching right now in Lake Charles, Louisiana, Brother C.D. Thornton, First Pentecostal Church. I was preaching just today. What's today? Saturday. Yesterday was 1 week ago. I was preaching, or 2 weeks ago. It's been 2 weeks ago. And I was preaching along, and the Holy Ghost come up on me. The Sunday school superintendent of the church has been without work 13 months. Cannot, Lake Charles is hard hit. He could not find work. Hallelujah. I walked back to him, and I said, yea, the Holy Ghost says that you'll make hundreds and thousands of dollars immediately. Boy, the church looked at me. There was about 500 of them there that night. They looked at me and said, what is this crazy fellow going to say next? He couldn't find work anywhere. I was over at Brother Thornton's house the next day, and that man drove, when he got out of the car, he was just almost walking on air. He just got a call to report to work at 11 o'clock that night. They started him off at $1,600 a week. Boom, he went to work. He was at church. He was sitting there in the service, and he was jumping up and down, and he was shouting, he was crying, he was laughing, and he stayed there until he had to drive fast to get to the revival, or get to the job. But let me tell you what, blessings will overtake us. We first got to get into the book. I'm talking about when blessings overtake. Let me tell you, sin can overtake you. If you're in that category, it will overtake you. But the Bible says that if you live in this day will overtake you. But if you live out of this book, the Bible says these blessings shall overtake you. Hallelujah. I know what I'm talking about. It happens time and time and time again. And I can name you instant after instant in 1984. Not 1948, but 1984. What God is doing for us in these days. Now! Oh, you can't have revival in the summer. Everybody goes on vacation. You can't have revival in the winter. It's too cold. You can't have revival in Thanksgiving. Everybody's being thankful. You can't have you can have revival anytime you want to, because God's blessings is wanting to get on you. And when you get ready for revival, it can be yours. You just got to pay the price. I hope I'm not getting too loud in this thing. I get carried away because I know what God is doing. His blessings, they exceed all the limitations of our mind. I must tell the story I almost let this slip. A lady come to me recently and said, "Brother Bourne, don't use my name, but tell this story." Said, "Everywhere you go, I know you go to a lot of places, but for the glory of God, I want you to tell this." And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I will." "What is it?" She said, "A couple of years ago, things was real bad for our church. And matter of fact, they had been in a building program. They bogged down. Things got real tight. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of things happened. It put the pressure on the pastor. It put the pressure on the entire church. They was not able to finish the building. Everything just caved in. It seemed that that's the way it happened." She says, "In the middle of all of this, my husband died. And after that he had died, we had a little savings. It wasn't a whole lot. But one day in prayer, the Holy Ghost told me to take that savings and go give it to the pastor and tell him to use it that the church would not have to suffer." And she went to her bank and withdrew $40,000. Signed that check and gave it to the pastor and said, "Here. That's all I've got. I don't have a job. I don't have anything. This is our entire life savings. I won't live to see this church brought under reproach." And she gave all that she had. She then, let me back up. I said she didn't have a job. She had a job. But it was a sales job, and there was no commissions coming in. She was at the rope's end. Her husband had been dead for this while. But when she gave all that she had, things turned around. And that year, are you ready for this? That year, she made a total of $87,000. The next year, she made $92,000. And when she told me this about 3 months ago, just over into the year, it wasn't too far into the year, she said, "Already this year, I have made $89,000 and it's not even half gone." That's just the beginning of it, Brother Bourne. This is what she told me. She said, "I put together a package, having no idea that it would go through. But she said, when this thing went through, she said, the man that I worked this thing for, he gave me 2%
of the stock in the company. The royalty off of that stock is going to be $1,500 a month the rest of my life. And when I'm gone, my children get it. The stock itself is worth $250,000 if I wanted to sell it. The commission on this thing $740,000. And with what I'm working on now, which will be complete in 3 months, will make me a millionaire this year. I'm talking about when blessings overtake you. Some said, I would never do that, and you'll never be blessed. Hallelujah. I can just almost picture the Spirit of the Lord kind of creeping up behind me. Every once in a while, I just kind of stop and says, Lord, are you that close? Go ahead. Say, Brother Bourne, you trying to psych us out? Oh, no. I'm telling you that the power and the blessings of the Lord shall overtake you. He said, matter of fact, when you go in or when you come out, matter of fact, if you just lay your hand on it, he said, I'll bless your store, I'll bless your basket, I'll bless your cow, I'll bless your sheep, I'll bless your land, I'll bless your house, I'll bless you in town, I'll bless you in the field. He said, it don't matter where you at. He said, I will overtake you. Just starting out to my car, Brother Price, and a blessing jumps on me. I don't know if I ever told Brother Price this or not, but we were pastoring out in the country, and there was a time that things kind of got a little shaky financially for us, and we really didn't know what we was going to do. There was not enough money to make ends meet. You ever been there? All of y'all relate to that, most of you. I said, God, I've got to have help. And one morning, on a Monday morning, I went out to get in my car and folded up very neatly was a $20 bill. Now, that wasn't much, but it was $20. It was a start. Stuck down in the horn of my car. I said, well, it must be mine. It's my car. It's my horn. And so I took it. The next Monday morning when I went out to get in my car, stuck in the same place, folded twice, sticking in about a little green piece of paper about that long, and unfolding it was a $50 bill. I said, it's my car. It's my horn. Must be my money. So I took it. You know, Monday morning's got to be a happy occasion around our house. Every Monday morning, just as sure as it got daylight, I would go out, and sure enough, there it would be. And this went on something like a year. I, to this day, don't know who done it, Brother Price. I even parked my car where I could look out my bedroom window, and I watched it. I never caught anybody. I would sit in the front of the house, Brother Price can relate to where this was at that time, and I would turn out all the lights, and I would look through that window, and I'd sit there all night long. I was going to catch them, but I never did. But just as sure as it got daylight, I could go out and collect. I even locked my car because I wanted to catch them trying to get in my car. I wanted to thank them. But it was there. If my car was locked or unlocked. It became a way of life for me. I would casually mention this to people. I didn't want that to get out. I didn't want someone to come and try to rob my car. But I'd go out on Monday morning and there it would be.
a $50 bill. Let me tell you, blessings will overtake you. It really depends on whether you got faith to believe what Brother Bourne's telling you tonight. I'm telling you, gotta do it. I preach faith everywhere I go. I tell people that God will heal, raise them up. He'll do anything that we ask Him to do. I preached it so hard one night, one lady, she didn't have any money. She looked in the paper and chickens was on sale at Dale Temps. She said, Brother Bourne said we could ask God for anything. She got in the car and drove down to the parking lot. And she started praying, God, you know I'm broke. Brother Bourne says if we could ask for it, we'd get it. Here I am. And she prayed and she began to cry because they needed a few groceries. And she was a-weeping and a thunderstorm come up and it began to blow and rain. And she looked out across the parking lot and she saw a piece of paper rolling. And it rolled right straight for her. And through her foggy eyes, she began to make out that that piece of paper was coming straight to her car. And it rolled right up to her door. And she looked out, and there was a $20 bill. She just opened the door and picked it up. She got out of the car. She was a-crying. Tears was pouring down her face. She got that buggy. She was still sobbing. Headed right for the chicken bin. You tell me it don't work. You come too late to tell me it don't work. I'm telling you, blessings can overtake us. And they will overtake us. God's got the power beyond our own expectation. We don't have it a lot of times because we really don't believe that it's going to happen. I've come to grips with myself that if we will exercise our faith, God will give us anything we ask for.
Yes, sir. That's His word. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. Friend, if you could only understand the things that we have seen in the last while. The power of God is so real. It is so strong. Miracle after miracle. People being raised up. Right in a service, a lady sitting on the second pew about the same place as this one. 1 year ago this week, Brother Price, we was in a service. The power of God was moving. The pastor was baptizing someone in the baptistry. And I was turned looking in this direction. And all of a sudden someone tapped me on the shoulder and says, come quick, Brother Bourne, the hand to all. A lady sitting on the second pew there had fell over dead with a heart attack. They had already called one, ran, called the ambulance. Ambulance backed up to the door of the church. The lights were flashing. Here she was. I didn't know the story of this lady. I didn't know that she had just come out of the hospital after 3 weeks in intensive care when the doctor had said the next heart attack will be the last for you. But we prayed. And we prayed. And I said, Brother Bourne, we're going to have to move her. I said, just a minute. And all of a sudden she went. And she started breathing. And they stood her up. There was a young man there who was studying to be a doctor. And after church, he said, Brother Bourne, you saw a classic example of a complete cardiac arrest tonight. I said, what is that? When the heart stops? They said, exactly. He said, I've been working with this particular type of thing. And said, you saw a complete cardiac arrest. I said, well, was the woman dead? He said, yes, sir. But he said, by the power of God, God raised her up. The next night, she was right there, still a shout. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what. You cannot believe anything Brother Bourne is saying, but I'm telling you, the blessings of the Lord can. Morning at 10 o'clock, and I'm going to see it happen again. And then tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, I'm going to see it happen again. And then Monday night, I'm going to see it happen again. God is still doing it. He's doing it in these days. His power has not diminished. About 10 weeks ago, service is dismissed, and there was a man sitting right on the end of the pew here like this. And when I walked by, he stopped me and said, "Brother Bourne, you talk about all of these miracles, and you talk about what God would bless people with." He said, "I've got a back problem." Someone mentioned something about someone got a bad back problem tonight, not able to be here. Well, this man, he said, "I cannot even bend over to put my pants on in the morning. My wife has to help me slip my pants on and then has to help me get on my feet to get going because I've had this problem. It's 25 years. It nags me night and day." And I said, "Well, brother, why don't you just believe the Lord?" I just reached around with my hand like that, and I touched it back on someone. I said, "In Jesus' name, touch this back." And I turned around, walked off, and started talking with someone else. The next night, he came back to church, Brother Price. This was about 10 weeks ago. He said, "Brother Bourne, for the first time in 25 years, I got up, I could reach over and touch my toes, put my pants on, went out of the house, worked all day hard. I'm back here tonight because of the power of God. God is still in the healing business. God restored that." That's been 10 weeks ago. I saw him the other night. I said, "Hi, is it, brother?" He said, "I am still healed by the power of God." Why? That God that I'm serving, he can heal a back, he can heal a toe, he can heal a brain, he can remove brain tumor, he can do anything we let him do. A little Lutheran girl in our church there in Macomb, Mississippi. She didn't have the Holy Ghost at this time. Her husband had received the Holy Ghost. Her brother in in Nebraska. What's the capital of Nebraska? Omaha. Omaha, Nebraska. 16-year-old brother had terminal brain tumor. They had already operated. They were then giving him chemotherapy or radium treatments, whatever it was. 16 years old. He had no chance. One night in the service, I looked at her and I said, "Kim, come here." She walked up there, frightened to death. This wasn't the Lutheran way of doing it. I said, "I'm going to pray for you because I can't get to your brother. But I said, when I anoint you with oil, God's going to reach through you and take a trip all the way to Omaha, Nebraska, to the Cancer Research Center. And he's going to touch your brother right now. And going to completely zap that cancer out. Do you hear me?" Tears were streaming down her face. I said, "Kim, I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to make a spectacle out of you. But I said, believe with me that God's going to do it. And I said, when you get home, before you get back to church, I want you to call and find out what happened at this time. Right now. Mark it down. The exact time." When she came back to church, the next service, this is what she said, her testimony. She said, "I called home, Brother Bourne, and this is what my parents told me. At exactly 8:28, I can't remember the time, but I'm just going to use those figures. At exactly 8:28, my brother lapsed into a coma, and they thought he was dead. They rushed him to the cancer hospital from where he was there in this other hospital by helicopter. When they got there, he was still in a coma. They could not find any respiration. Respiratory system was failing. They said, well, he's gone. They looked for his records, and he had lost his records. They called back to the other hospital. They could not find him. They said to put him on the helicopter. The helicopter pilot didn't have him. Then they had to go quickly. They assembled a large group of doctors. They began to go through these tests. And they could not find anything. Except he was in a coma. About midnight, he come out of that coma with no cancer. I'm telling you, the blessings of the Lord will overtake us if we'll let him. Am I getting too close to this microphone? I sure don't want to hurt your ears. If I could only let God do what he wants to do in my life, let me tell you, your crops, what's done away, come to me on a Sunday morning in August a few years ago. He said, "Brother Bourne,
My ryegrass is dying in the field because we don't have no rain. I've got 80 acres of seed, and it's as dry. I said, well, when do you want the rain? He said, I needed it 2 weeks ago, Brother Bourne. I said, well, would you be satisfied today? He said, yes, sir, Brother Bourne. Look out that window. There's not a cloud in the sky. I said, well, I'll tell you what, Brother Dunaway. I said, go home and eat lunch. Get your umbrella and walk down in the field. Do you want to see it rain on your field? He laughed. He said, Brother Bourne, I love you. I said, well, don't take your umbrella then. He said, that ain't what I meant. He went home and ate lunch. Walked back across that field without an umbrella. Leaned up against a four-strand barbed wire fence separating he and the other people. And he looked and there wasn't a cloud in the sky. He said, God, my pastor told me to do it. That's the only reason why I'm out here. He told me it was going to rain, and here I am, there ain't a cloud in the sky. And he looked back in the southwest, and he saw a little cloud begin to form, and all of a sudden the wind began to blow. And that cloud was rushing at him at about 40, 50 miles an hour, and it got right over his 40, 80 acres, and it began to rain. And he said it rained on that 80 acres, and he was leaning up against the fence, and the dust was still blowing across the barbed wire fence. He said, I'd have never believed if I hadn't have been there. He said the ground was saturated until I had to wade through mud coming back across to my house, to my dairy barn, across that 80-acre patch. But he said, across a four-strand barbed wire fence, that man didn't get one drop, and I watched for it to fall, one drop across that fence, and it didn't. He said, I'll bless you in the field. Is this a city? If this is a city, he'll bless you in the city. If you got a store, he said, I'll bless your store. If all you got's an empty basket, he said, I'll bless your basket. What time did I start? Hallelujah. I don't want to go past my 30 minutes. Hallelujah. I'm talking about when blessings overtake us. Some of you don't understand what I'm saying here yet tonight. I'm telling you the blessings of the Lord wants to overtake you. Hallelujah. Brother Price, come out here with me. Hallelujah. Just start walking across here. Don't get in too big a hurry.
Hallelujah.
See what I'm talking about? I was wanting to stop. He thought I wanted him to go faster. And he took off.
Hallelujah. You scared me. Glory to God.
How many times do we just keep on trotting? Hallelujah. Oh, I need something, God. I need it now. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Slow down. Stop. Hallelujah. I stood in the pulpit one night. I started to preach. I felt a hand touch me on my back. I turned around to see what the pastor wanted, and he was way off over there by the piano. I turned back around. I started preaching. I said, I'm losing my mind. And all of a sudden, I felt a hand touch me again, and I whirled around the other way. And there wasn't nobody over there. I looked back, and the pastor was still sitting way over by the piano. I turned back around. I said, I know I felt someone touch me. And all of a sudden I felt that hand again. And I started to turn. And then I realized, hey, that's not just somebody. That's him. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden all the hair on my head felt like it was standing straight up. I got a hold to the Bible stand and I was trembling. I said, God, please don't take your hand off of me ever. Put your hand on me now, God, but let me feel your presence. Hallelujah. He said, and these blessings shall overtake you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People don't realize what God's wanting to do for them, and they're missing out on the best things in life. If you need a raise, you can get it. If you need a better house, you can have it. If you want healing for your cancerous body, you can have it. If tonight there is anything in your life that you're lacking, you can have it. Because the promise is yours. All you got to do is obey the commandments of the Lord. A lady was in the hospital in Houston, Texas. The pastor and I went down to where she was. She was operating on this first day I was there. And we went and prayed for her. And she wept. She said, oh, if I could just get out of here, I'd come to church. You know, when you have back surgery, that's a legal excuse to miss 6 months of service. Well, she was out of there in 1 week. And when she came to church that first night, this is the way she come in. She got out at 2 o'clock. And she was there at 6:30. She shouldn't have really been to church under normal conditions. But she finally got to a pew. And after much effort, she finally got down on that pew. Sweat was popping out all around her head. She was white around the mouth. And man, I'm telling you what, every time she'd start to move, I'd go, ooh. You know, I just knew, God, please don't let it happen tonight. Don't let anything happen to that woman. After a while, I seen her trying to get up. She finally got up. She got out now. She started down to where I was at, holding her back. She said, Brother Bourne, I need a touch now. I said, okay. I prayed for her. And all of a sudden, she straightened up. And when she realized she was straight, she started dancing in the Spirit. And then she realized she was dancing. She started running. And she run. And she run. Around and around. I'm talking about every time she went around, the faster she got. Finally, she got right up along here. She got to shout. And she fell over backwards over the pew. Bam. Stitches still in her back. Discs had been fused. I said, oh, my God. All the ladies in the church, they grabbed books. Oh, God, oh, God. Oh, God, oh, God. They was trying to help her up. They get her up. If you could have seen the expression on them people's faces. And I was up there. Oh, my God. And she'd get up and she took off the run. When church was over that night, she jumped up. I'll see y'all tomorrow night. Hallelujah. The next night when she come in out of the prayer room, this is the way she come in. Didn't miss another night. Hallelujah. Begin to bring visitors. They want to come see what that lady with stitches in her back was going to do the next night. But God had already taken care of all of that. God fixed it all just right. I'm talking about when blessings overtake us. Do you want the Lord to overtake you or something? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you what, I feel one creeping up on me now. There just, nobody ain't no telling what God wants to do for us right here in this service. Man, I'm telling you what, God wants to just slip up on you, put His arms around you, and bless you with things that you don't even think possible tonight. Being overtaken. And yet, right in the middle of all of this, when it's ours, just standing there and accepting it, the Bible says, when a brother is overtaken in a fault. You know why, Brother Price? Well, I just don't think I can live for God. Most of the time, they back right into it. And then it says, don't be overtaken as a thief because of darkness. And there are people who are falling because of the age. They say, you can't live for God in this age. Oh, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that people can't live for God today.
Don't tell me that people have to fall in sin. Don't tell me that they gotta be overtaken. Oh, no. I'm here to tell you, you can either be overtaken by sin or you can be overtaken by blessings. I've already made up my mind what I want. Hallelujah. When the blessings of the Lord begins to fall on you, some of you are going to see others being blessed. And if God blesses your pastor and he's able to get a new car or build a new home or to buy something that maybe you don't have, you might even get upset and have some very strange things to say about it. But I'm going to tell you what, you can't take the blessings of God away from this man. Why? Just for your giving tonight, for every dollar you give, God's going to bless you four times. But do you know what he said he would do for this man or for any man who preaches this gospel? He said, a man that will leave houses and lands and mother and father and sister and brother, he said, I'll bless him 100-fold in this life and give him life eternal. I'm going to tell you what, there ain't enough you can do against me to cause God not to bless me. Matter of fact, if you withhold everything you've got, the Bible says I got ravens out there that knows how to bring groceries to this house. And when that runs out, I got a little widow down there that I'm going to sustain him there. And also the Lord said, get up and go down to the widow's house. And got down there and she was picking up sticks, had just a little bit off, didn't have much left. Said, we're going to cook this and die. And he says, give it to me first. Isn't that just like one of them apostolic preachers? Take them little welfare checks, food stamps, half the garden. LaRue Terry, who was our church secretary and was out in the country with Brother Price, he came to me one time and said, Brother Bourne, I planted us a garden. Said, I planted 10 rows of potatoes. I put your name on yours. I said, no, brother, that's not the way to do it. The Bible says pay a tenth of the increase. He said, no, I got Bourne on that row. I said, okay, you asked for it. I said, just remember, I told you. But if you got born on it, and that's mine, you leave her alone. LaRue Terry planted those potatoes, 10 rows. And when those potatoes began to make, the one that he jobbed that stick on and put born on it, the ground began to groan, raise up, burst open. Big holes begin to come in the ground. When he dug those potatoes, there was more potatoes on my row than his 9. He come to me and said, Brother Bourne, I just don't understand this. He said, I use the same fertilizer. I use the same potatoes. I planted them the same day. Everything was supposed to be right. I said, well, brother, I'll still tell you. Do it God's way. He said, no, I'm doing just like I said. I said, well, do it your way then. Give me my potatoes. He had to bring them down in a pickup truck. 17 bushels on a short row. I give away potatoes. We eat potatoes. We stewed them. We fried them. We boiled them. We've done everything but barbecue them. Potatoes rotted. Let me tell you, you cannot get around the blessings of God. Hallelujah. When blessings, Brother Price, would you like a blessing to overtake you? You don't have to tell me, but if you'll tell God tonight, you and your wife can discuss when you get home in the privacy of your bedroom. Tell God what you want, Sister Price, and God will give it to you. You hear me? I say God will give it to you. You can make it light on yourself if you stay in the book. If you stay in that book, the Bible says, and all of these things shall come upon you. And what else? overtake you. I can't help it. One lady come to my house one day, supposed to go somewhere with my wife. She got all upset and left before my wife come downstairs. She said, I sit after I talk to her, try to counsel with her. I said, what happened? She said, I come in that house, and I began to look at that house, and I looked at those velvet curtains, and I looked at all of that, those musical instruments. I looked at that harp sitting over there in the corner. I looked at that piano and that organ and all those musical instruments. And I began to look at all of that furniture and Victorian in style. And she said, the more I looked at it, the more upset I got. Finally, I said, I'm not going to stay in this kind of situation because of all of this that these people have splurged when they could have taken this money and done something else with it. You see, what they didn't know was, a missionary come by, and I give away my little guitar, and a prostitute off the streets of New Orleans come up and got the Holy Ghost and give me a harp. Amen? They didn't realize that we lived in our house for months and months with sheets hanging over the windows because we didn't have money to buy no curtains. And one day, LaRue Terry come by and said, when are you going to buy curtains? I said, well, we're just waiting for a little bit of... I wouldn't tell him. He says, you don't have to be so candid with me, Brother Bourne. How much material would it take? I said, 427 yards. There's 52 windows. He wrote me out a check to buy that velvet material. And the lady in the church made them. And we hung them because God blessed. Some can't take it. Hallelujah. I don't mean to weary you, and I'm fixing to close. But I'm talking about the blessings of God. And I feel something for this church. I feel it inside me. It's a gut feeling. And I don't know why I will even say what I'm fixing to say. But there is something that God would do for some of you if you would just step out in blind faith and believe it. I say if you would step out in blind faith and believe it. I shall say another thing. I never discussed this with your pastor. And he and I was as close on this situation as anybody I know, except I come out of the hospital one day, Hattiesburg Forest General Hospital. I started to get gas, and a man was filling up his car with gas, and he said, are you a minister? And I said, yes, I am. What kind of preacher are you? I said, I'm a Jesus' name apostolic preacher. He said, oh, y'all them kind of still believes in miracles. I said, yes, sir. He said, don't you know that the days of miracles are over? I said, no. I didn't know it. I said, who are you? He said, oh, I'm a minister also. I said, what kind? And he told me. I said, what are you doing in Hattiesburg? Well, I come over here to visit some of my folks in the hospital. I said, for what? To encourage them. I said, how could God encourage someone and not heal them? If he's got power to encourage them by a few words you would say, don't you think he's got power to heal them by that same encouragement? He said, no, you got it all mixed up, preacher. Don't you know that God don't heal? I was putting gas in, all of a sudden looked around, it was balling over on the ground. He hadn't noticed and I hadn't either. I said, man, you come too late to tell me God don't heal. Don't you try to slip that on me. He said, well, he don't. I said, hold on just a minute. I said, why don't you go up to the second floor at the IC unit and tell them in there that he don't do it. Go tell them. Right up there, right now. That's where I just come from.
Go up there and tell them. I'd been there for 3 days with this man right here. His mother went in for a back surgery. She had a heart attack. They rushed her to the intensive care unit. She died. 3 days she lay there under all of those machines. A breathing machine was causing her to breathe. A heart pacemaker was making her heart operate. They had her on some type of thing, circulation, to keep her body warm, and the temperature had already dropped to 87 degrees. There was no brain response on those, what do you call them? They had put her through, at 2 o'clock in the morning, Brother Price, you'll remember this well. They said, Brother Bourne, would you please go in? This was the third day. I walked in, and I've never mentioned this to Brother Price. Matter of fact, I'm careful about even saying this. But the head nurse in the intensive care unit said, Preacher, we have created a monster that we can make people continue to go and to keep their body temperature moving, make their heart beat, make their lungs function, and make them live on, only to the torment of a family like sitting right out there in that waiting room, longing to come in for 5 minutes every other hour to see a person that we know is not going to make it. I said, what are you saying? She said, this woman has been clinically dead for 3 days, and we make her live to torture that family. She says, come here. And she took me over to that bed. She said, look at this lady. She reached over and unplugged that breathing machine. And Sister Price's chest remained completely still. There was no movement. She plugged it back in. She reached over and unplugged that heart thing. And that constant zip went to one long zag. And she plugged it back in. And once again, that pacemaker kept the heart a-going. She said, there is no response to pain. She took a needle and pricked the end of her finger and moved her out of it. She says, the veins have collapsed and the lungs have collapsed. She said, we cannot even find a vein. There is no pulse. We cannot find it. Only by the machine that can pick up that faint pulse, because we continue to pump that blood. She's dead. I turned and walked out of there, Brother Price. And when I walked out of that waiting room, when that family saw the look on my face, they started sobbing. I turned and walked down the corridor, got around to a place in a stairway, hid myself, and then I began to weep and shake. And I said, God, why do we have to go? I didn't have to tell them anything. They could read it on my face. She's gone. After a while, I come back, and it's 6:35, right before the changing of the nurses at the 7 o'clock shift. Brother Price and his family said, Brother Bourne, would you go in one more time? I said, yes, sir. I think some of y'all ought to go in. They said, no, you go. I walked into that room, same nurse, same head nurse in the IC unit. She walked with me back over there, and I said, has there been any change? She says, no. She says, matter of fact, the doctor, when they come on at the next shift, and when this next shift changes, they're planning on talking to the family. And that's going to be it. And we walked over, and I looked at Sister Catherine Price. I said, sad, isn't it, that a family has to go through what they've gone through? And she said, yes, it is. I said, would you mind if I just had a word of prayer again? So she stood there with me. I reached out and laid my hand on that cold body. 87 degrees don't seem like cold until you put it on someone's flesh and it's 87 degrees.
And I reached out and caught that nurse by the hand. I said, say a word of prayer with me. And all of a sudden, the little finger began to twitch like that. And then that second finger began to twitch with it. And then all four of them fingers began to twitch. And I began to twitch. I was shaking like a leaf in a hailstorm. And all of a sudden, with the aid of that breathing machine, I looked at Sister Catherine Price, took her own breath, and began to let it off. And by that time, that nurse turned, and she ran, and she hollered a code. The doctors came a-running. I was still inside. They said, Reverend, you're going to have to step outside. Well, I wasn't going to miss it. When they turned their back, they didn't know I was still there. I just backed over against a wall, and I began to watch. When they saw the activity, they said, well, this is it. They were outside, but I was inside. And so the story goes like this. The next day, Brother Baron Price's mother was back in a regular room. Is that right? And then she was home without back surgery. Her heart beating right. It's been years since I've seen your mother. I don't know the condition of her health today, but I do know this. I looked at that preacher. I almost said what kind, but I'm not going to do that. I said, you go talk to him. They're still up there. There's a lot of commotion going on. They're still talking about it. I said, going up there? Now, don't tell me God don't raise from the dead. You come too late to tell me, preacher. I said, maybe your God don't, but mine does. When blessings overtake us. My Lord, forgive me, people, for taking so long a time here tonight. You have been such a good audience. I don't know, except that God wants to do it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God wants to do it. And He wants to do it in somebody's life. I'm trying to find you. So God wants to do something especially in this service. And I haven't found you, but I know somewhere there's somebody here tonight that God's wanting to do something for in a miraculous way. Stand with me, please. When blessings overtake us. Do you know what Jesus said when He stood over Jerusalem that day? Weeping, He said, how often would I have gathered you? How often would I have gathered you as a hen doth her brood under her wings? He said, I sent prophets and you stoned them. I sent men of God to preach to you and you refused them. He said, as a matter of fact, I come down myself and walked among you, and you wouldn't listen to me. This is it. But I can see right now in my mind's eye, and I don't even have to close my eyes to see it. I can see the Lord standing over Jerusalem, saying, how often would I have overtaken you with a blessing? How often would I have come up on you and just put my arms around you and say, hey, I want to bless you. That lady's riding around in a big Mercedes talking about getting a Rolls Royce. I told her the other day, I said, if you get that Rolls Royce, let me borrow it for one revival. Can't you imagine Brother Bourne pulling up for a revival in a little country church in a Rolls Royce? You won't never hear the last of that one. But if she gets it, I'm going to get it. I hope it's here. Hey, have y'all heard about that evangelist down there at Popo? He's in a Rolls Royce. That church, I knew that church had money.
I knew that preacher was rich. I don't know what to pay him. I must be paying him $2,000 or $3,000 a week.
Hallelujah.
Can't you just hear it?
When blessings overtake us. Brother, what do you need from God? You. I'm talking this one right here right now. You. A different job. Do you have anything in mind? Would you mind telling me what it is? How much money you need to make? July the 4th. How long has that been? This is August the 4th. It's been 130 days ago. I was in Birmingham, Alabama on July the 4th. Hot. It was so hot, they turned the air conditioning on and it kicked the multibreaker. We had church in the dark for 30 minutes, and when the lights finally come back on, didn't have no air conditioning. It quickly got 100 degrees plus in that building. And I preached. One man come to me after church and said, Brother Bourne, you don't understand what kind I'm needing. The job I want. I said, what is it? He said, I want a job as an insurance representative. I forget exactly how he said it. Anyway, he explained it to me. I said, how much money you want to make? He said, I want to make $35,000 a year. Well, that's not a lot of money. God got all of it. I said, well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what you want. Tell God. He'll give it to you. My daughter called me 2 weeks ago and said, Brother Bourne, or Daddy, she lives in Birmingham. She says, do you know that God answered every question, every answer, every job, everything that everybody said they needed? They got it within 14 days. That man got his job with that company, making $35,000 a year. He said, that's not much. Well, it's more than I make. It's probably more than you make. This next brother right here. Right here. What do you need from God? You need your healing. Do you believe God will heal you? Do you think there's anything too hard for God? You don't think there's anything too hard for God? Do you believe that the power of God can overtake you and heal you? Yes, sir. How many believes God can heal this man? In the name of Jesus. God, we just need one little touch in this man's body. God, I don't know what it will take. God, I don't know how to do it. But God, we know you got the power to raise this man up. Whatever the healing that he needs, let him ask you now and let it be done. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Sunday morning was 5 weeks ago. I was preaching on faith. A little lady had told me that morning before Sunday school started, Brother Bourne, I've got a tumor right behind my ear here. It bothers me constantly. God's got to do something. I was preaching, and I guess it got to her that morning. I say 5 weeks. It must have been 6 weeks ago. She reached up to rub that sore place, and she said, that was the end of that service. Her tumor was gone. I mean, gone. Some of you don't believe what I'm saying. You're looking at me like a tree full of owls. Look, God will do it. God still removes tumors. God still gives jobs. And God still heals men like this man right here. There's nothing he won't do for any one of you. You have simply got to say, okay, Lord, jump on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
You know, every day I walk down the street,
Every time I get in my car, I'm expecting something to jump right on my back and not sin.
That's right.
Well, I say, I wonder what it's going to be today. Hallelujah. I'm expecting it. I'm not going to be cut short of it, Brother Price. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm going to quit. But I'm going to tell you something. It ain't because I'm wanting to. Have you ever felt like you were fixing to explode? That there was a time bomb set off right inside you and you were fixing to go to 1,000 pieces? That's just the way I feel right now. I feel like something's inside of me and it's fixing to just go to 1,000 pieces. Hallelujah. God's wanting to do something in this service. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's got the power tonight. And we've got the power through Him. There's anything that can happen. Hallelujah. I've mentioned Brother Bourne during camp meeting that I wanted him to be here. I think I talked to him some before. I haven't even seen him since. Matter of fact, last night I almost couldn't go to sleep because I couldn't get a hold of him, and I knew he'd been in revival. And I didn't know what he had forgotten. I got up this morning and called and called and called and still couldn't get anybody. I didn't even talk to him before him getting here tonight. He walked in, caught me fixing to get in the tub. We didn't have any time to even visit hardly before service tonight because we worked on the sign. But if you had walked through that tape library sitting right back in that sound room and just play all over again the messages you've heard for the last 3 weeks, God's trying to tell you something, church. You can sit back and say it's not for us, and it won't be for you. But, oh, if you can just get that faith. Last night I came in from Sister Letha's and Brother Humphrey's. They fed us last night, anniversary supper. They didn't even know it then. Amen. But when we came back, I painted these doors out here. And I played that tape I preached about 3 weeks ago on sickness, how God wants to heal. There's some of you in this room tonight that you're going and you're letting sickness be upon you. And you can't find one scripture in the Word of God where it says will that anybody be sick. Unless He's to heal them and bring glory out of them. He healed everybody that was brought to Him. If they didn't get their healing, it was their fault because they didn't go to Him. And we, so many times, because we're afraid of what somebody's going to say, we'll step out and say, well, if it's God's will that I have this, I'll take it. It's not God's will. 1 Peter, 2 Peter, Peter wrote, by His stripes ye were healed. Every sickness that is in this world today, God has already taken. You say, why don't He do it? Why don't He clean the hospital? Because people do not believe Him. He has paid the price. And it takes somebody that will go the second mile and say, God, I'm going to have it. Hallelujah. We sat there. We knew Mom was dead. But you were looking at a family that refused to give up. We walked in and there were people all in that ICU waiting room. There was a little folding door and we walked in there and you talk about having a Pentecostal prayer meeting. We talked to a God that was able to move. I didn't know what was going on inside, but there was a family that was touching the hem of a garment of a God that will not fail. Hallelujah. If you want to die sick, friend, you can do it. But if you want to leave this world rejoicing in the power of Almighty God, I'm here to tell you we serve a God that's able tonight. Hallelujah. You can walk out of this service in a few minutes shaking your head and saying, who'd ever thought somebody would have to go on to say such as that? You'll never have a blessing in your life. But if you can believe God, hallelujah, He's the same today, yesterday, and forever, hallelujah. If you believe it for your healing tonight, you can leave this place made whole. If you shake your head and say, it's not for me, you'll walk away and you will never receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Andy Carpenter was here just a week or so ago. He preached it.
Brother Tim Wallace was here just about a week and a half ago. He preached it. The last time Brother Black was here, he preached it. Amen. I'm here to tell you, God's trying to heal you, friend. God's trying to give you a job. God's trying to answer your problems. And if you sit back with folded arms and hard arms, it won't ever happen. But if we can believe God.